Blog Talk Radio.
Wherever you're listening in from, I welcome you to the Living by Design radio show. I am Kathy Holloway Hill, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes on a topic that is on the minds of everyone. Change. Why is change so difficult? What is it about change that makes it just absolutely impossible for some people to accomplish? Why is it so difficult? I'm going to dedicate the entire month of December to this topic because it is such a critical topic in our nation, and we're also coming up on a brand new year, so we want to make sure that everyone understands and has all the tools and all the knowledge that you need to ensure that your changes, your New Year resolutions, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, your goals are all going to be right within your grasp, and you're going to have all the information you need to accomplish whatever it is you're trying to do, because change is not easy. We know that change is very difficult, and as a matter of fact, I hate to say it, but the older you are, the more difficult it becomes. So what we're going to do is we're going to just talk about some of the dynamics and why it is so difficult and what is it about change that makes it so difficult and some of the ways that you can kind of get out of your own way, because most of us are in our own way. We're also stuck in comfort zones. That's what we do. We get into a comfort zone and we just get stuck. And once we get stuck there, it's kind of like living in quicksand. You just keep sinking and sinking lower and lower, and you just convince yourself that life is fine. And you just accept it for the way it is. You just accept the status quo, and you don't even try to improve it. It's really sad that statistics actually show that almost 88% of the people in this nation have jobs that they don't like. They either hate their job or they hate something about the workplace, whether it's the boss or the coworkers or the work itself. They don't like it. They hate it. Not just their career and their work, but there's lots of situations in people's lives that they don't like, they're not happy with, and they just accept it and live with it, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a friendship, or whatever the case may be. They just don't have the wherewithal to try to get up and do something about it. The other statistic I want to share with you, because we are in the month of December, and January is the month for New Year resolutions, is that 95% of New Year resolutions don't work. And the reason that is because of what I'm talking about right now, our thought process, our mind, the way we process change, the way we feel about change. We have convinced ourselves that change is too difficult, change is too hard, so we really don't want to do it. And what people do, even though change comes to our lives by chance, choice, or crisis. Those are the three ways that change can come about: chance, choice, or crisis. Now, I'm sure you probably all know people who live in constant change pain. It doesn't matter what's going on, how simple the change is, they just complain about it. If the weather is not what they want it to be, well, I'll be happier. How are you doing today? Well, I'll be fine as soon as the weather improves, or as soon as it stops raining, or as soon as it gets warmer, or as soon as it gets cooler. The weather is what it is. And if you live in the Midwest, you ought to know by now that there are four seasons and the weather always changes when the season changes. That's just the way it is. But there are some people who allow everything to bother them, just traffic. Everything bothers them. They just can't deal with any kind of change. They just want simple, basic routines all day, every day, and they don't want to step outside of those routines at all. Now, one major key point that you need to understand is that when you try to avoid change or when you try to run from change, you're pretty much just stopping your life. You're stifling your growth. Change is growth. Life is all about change, whether you like it or not. Like I said a few minutes ago, by chance, choice, or crisis, change is going to come to your life. So you might as well just accept it and go with it instead of resisting it, because when you resist it, all it does is cause more stress in your life, more unhappiness, more misery, and guess what that leads to? Yeah, more health problems. There's a lot of stress-related illnesses out there, and I know you do not want to be one of the individuals who ends up having a stress-related illness that could have been avoided if you could learn how to deal with change. So I just want to make that point. Chance, choice, or crisis, that's how change usually occurs, and it's always unpredictable. You have no idea what if it's by chance or crisis. You definitely don't have any idea. Now, if it's by choice, and this is something that you're choosing to do, you're choosing to make the change like a New Year resolution, then that's a great thing. But unfortunately, as I stated, 95% of New Year resolutions don't work because by the third week in January, most people have realized that it's too difficult, it's too hard, I'm being pushed out of my comfort zone, and I don't like it. Well, you're right. Change does require you to come out of your comfort zone. Think of your mind, your brain, because we all have the potential to do amazing things with our brain. Just think of your brain as if you lived in a 250,000 square foot house. And in that 250,000 square foot house, you're only inhabiting about 200 square feet. You have this one little corner of that big, gigantic mansion that you live in. That's what it's like when you don't use the full potential of your powerful brain, your powerful mind. You're staying in this one little area because you're afraid to venture out into those other rooms in this big, gigantic house. You're afraid to look in the east wing or the west wing, or you're afraid to look in that room or that room because you think there's something there that might not be good. Well, there might be something there that is good. Life is about risk. And sometimes if you want to have something better, you have to take a risk. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is not so much taking the big, gigantic risks, but I'm going to first just talk about taking tiny, small steps so that you can try to push yourself out of your comfort zone, accept change, understand why it's so difficult, and then maybe you can use those tools and use this information to work for you instead of working against you. Now, you've always heard it said that if you keep doing something the same way, expecting a different result, you know what that's the definition of. Well, right. I didn't create that quote. I think Albert Einstein created that quote, but that's the definition of insanity. If you want something different, you've got to do something different, and you must think differently as well. Self-awareness is so very key. Now, I'm going to say that again because that's what I want to talk about tonight, self-awareness. You must be aware of everything about yourself before you can make the decisions or understand what it is you need to fix in order to embrace change. You have your thoughts, you have your beliefs, you have your attitude, you have your behaviors, and that's what makes you you. Your subconscious holds all the beliefs that you have created about yourself, about your life, about society, about the media, about the world. Your subconscious has all that stuff stored in there. And everything that you have encountered from the time you were a child, one of the functions of your conscious mind, not your subconscious, your conscious mind, is to perceive the world through your five senses: sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And as you're going along and you're making these perceptions through your senses, you're creating beliefs as a result of whatever it is that you're perceiving. For instance, if you've had a situation in your childhood where you were always in a specific dysfunctional situation and you perceived that you weren't good enough because of whatever the situation was, maybe a dysfunctional home, or maybe you got teased in school or the neighborhood or whatever the situation was, your perception created a belief, and that belief got stored in your subconscious. Now, as you go through life and you encounter other experiences, that also gets stored in your subconscious. Every experience you've had, every book you've read, every piece of anything that you have been exposed to contributes to the beliefs that you currently have. And that's why self-awareness is so very critical, because self-awareness allows you to take a look at those beliefs. It allows you to take a look at what's going on with you, your attributes. What is working for you? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? How do you believe others perceive you? Now, for those of you who are listening, I want you to do something for me right now. I'm going to put you to work, because I really want you to try to get this, because as we go through the next few weeks, we're going to bring some expert guests onto the show who specialize in the area of change and how you can invoke change in your life. But tonight I'm just going to do an intro and help you understand some of the smaller ways that you can kind of get started. So when we talk about self-awareness, that just means to do an assessment of what's going on inside of yourself. And the first thing I want you to do is take out a sheet of paper, and I want you to draw a line down the center of the page. And once you draw that line down the center of the page, I want you to write on the top left what I think. What I think. And then on the top right, I want you to write the words "what others perceive." Okay? You got that? Have you done that? Take out a sheet of paper, draw a line down the center. At the top of the left, what I think. Top right, what others perceive. And I want you to don't take a lot of time doing this. Whatever comes to your mind first is what I want you to write down. On the what I think side, I want you to write three personality traits that you believe are your strongest personality traits. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad. This is all about self-awareness. Three personality traits that describe you. Whatever comes to your mind first, that means those are the strongest. And then I want you to do the same thing on the other side, but I want you to do it from the perspective of what you think others perceive about you. What have people told you when you get feedback at work and when your friends talk about you as an individual? How are they perceiving you? For instance, your three that you think you are could be friendly, organized, and compassionate, and somebody else may perceive you as standoffish, introverted, and disorganized. So that's what I want you to do. And this is very important for understanding. The reason this exercise is so important is because if you are perceiving yourself one way and others are perceiving you a different way, there's a gap there that you need to be aware of. And you need to learn who you are so that you can close that gap. Because in the workplace, if you're in the workplace and you're thinking that you're a solution to a potential problem and someone else is perceiving you as the problem, then that's something that you need to be aware of. And that's why self-awareness is so very important, and you need to understand what's going on inside yourself and what your attributes are, your strengths, your weaknesses, your values, your morals, and most importantly, your beliefs. Now, I just want to talk one quick minute about emotional intelligence, because this all kind of goes hand in hand. Scientists and psychologists have determined that your EQ, which is your emotional quotient, is a better indicator of success than your IQ. And everybody knows what your IQ is. It's your intelligence quotient. And the reason for that conclusion is that your emotional intelligence means that you have the ability to interact with other people, understand their emotions, you're totally in touch with your own emotions, and you could understand and be empathetic to the emotions of others, and that's how you connect with other people. And when you learn how to build healthy interpersonal relationships with others, you can go very far in life. And that's why emotional intelligence is so very important, and we're probably going to get more into that in some of the later shows in the month of December, but I just wanted to make that point. Now, as far as emotions are the main driver of everything we do. Every thought we have, every action we take, it's all emotion-based. And now remember what I just said, because I'm getting ready to tell you why scientists and psychologists have determine why change is so difficult. Because we are emotional creatures by habit, we have not learned the cognitive and mental and emotional challenges that come with change. Now, I'll say that again, so make sure you get it. The reason change is so difficult is because we have never been taught how to understand and manage the emotional and cognitive challenges that change creates. So what happens is when a change comes into our life, whether it's by chance, choice, or crisis, even if we choose it, when change comes into our life, if this is a change that it's brand spanking new, but even though it may be brand spanking new, what our subconscious will do is it will dig around in your memory and it will try to find a similar change that occurred previously in your life at some point. And if it finds something similar to what you're currently trying to do, the new change that's coming in, it's going to throw that old change at you and say, okay, here's something that happened before that's similar to this new change. So use it as a framework. Now, the problem with that is that when your subconscious pulls something out of your memory, it's going to pull any old thing out, and it may not be a good situation that you experienced in your previous situation with change. So if you're using a bad change experience for the framework for this new change, that's why it's not going to work. For instance, I'll go back to the New Year resolution. Let's say that you have tried countless times to lose weight for your New Year resolution. As soon as the New Year hits and you know it's time for the pedal to hit the metal and for the rubber to meet the road and for you to do what it is you said you're going to do when the New Year comes, instead of you understanding these emotional and cognitive mind changes that are required, you go back and think about, I know I did this a year ago, I did this 2 years ago, and I failed, so I'm probably going to fail this time too, but I'll just try it anyway. So you've already set yourself up for failure. If that's the way you're thinking, and that's what we do, that's how change works. We always go back and dig around for something similar. So you cannot use your memory as a gauge for how well this new change is going to work or whether or not it's going to succeed. You've got to be willing to go through the 6 stages of the change cycle. And for those of you who are interested in actually seeing this model, because it's in my emotional bailout workbook, and it's one of the things that I talk quite a bit about, it is It's a diagram, and it's a model, and it talks about the 6 stages of the change process. And every single human on this planet goes through every one of these stages, stage 1, 2, 3, stage 4, 5, and 6. And depending on where you are in your change process, or depending on what the change is, you could be in any one of these stages for a significant amount of time. And there's no hard and fast rule as to how long you're going to be in any one particular stage for a certain amount of time. Okay, so stage one, and I'm just going to go through these because we're going to go into more in-depth discussion about this in some of the upcoming shows here in the month of December. But I want to let you know that if you want to get a copy of this chain cycle model, as well as the accompanying profile to explain what each of the stages means, how you're going to feel in each stage, how to move from one stage to the next, if you want that, just send me an email and I will send those documents to you. Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, at chollowayhill.com. And just let me know. I would like to get a copy of the change model and the change profile. Now, in stage one is described as loss. In stage one, you're pretty much feeling like you have lost something. And it doesn't mean, you know, necessarily that you've lost a loved one or you've lost, although that could be the case, but you've lost something, meaning that something has happened, a change has come into your life, whether by chance, choice, or crisis, and you're not where you were before the change came in. So the emotions that you're going to feel, of course, are fear. You're going to be very fearful. You're going to be very nervous, cautious. You may feel paralyzed. You may feel like, I just don't know what to do. The best thing to do in this stage is to just stop. Don't do anything. And if you email me and look at this actual chain cycle model, it's actually done in the colors of a traffic light. And I really like that because the stages of this model mimic the behavior that we do at a traffic light. So, for instance, in stages one and two, the colors are red because, in a traffic light, we stop. And in stages one and two, that's what you should do, is stop. And then in stages three and four, the colors are yellow because at a yellow traffic light, you proceed with caution, which is what you should do in the change cycle in those two stages, three and four. Slow down, proceed with caution, and then in stages five and six, it's green because now you're ready to move forward and you've got a lot more information under your belt to use. So going back to the first stage, which is fear and caution, and you're nervous and you're scared and you're paralyzed and you don't know what to do in the red stage, you have to stop, and you've got to acknowledge your loss and concern. And you have to ask yourself the key question, what is the worst that could happen? And in this stage, the challenge is going to be to channel your fear into action, to channel your fear into action, and to help create safety for yourself. Because stage one of change, you have to get to a point where you're not afraid anymore. And everybody does that in a different way. And when you get to that stage, then you can move to the next stage, which is doubt. And that's still in the red zone, meaning that you need to stop, slow down, and just, hold off, wait a minute. Because when you're in these two stages, one and two, it's like driving in fog. What you can see is equal to what you can't see. And when you're driving in fog, you don't go very fast. You're going very slow, and you're doing everything very cautiously. And in stage two, which is the doubting stage, if you're not careful, some of those feelings and emotions can turn negative. It can turn into resentment and anger and skepticism and resistance. And if you're in a workplace, that's not a good thing because you want to be – you don't want to be the weakest link. You want to be one of the team members who is helping to get the change implemented. So you definitely don't want to be the one who's throwing all the monkey wrenches in and throwing all the obstacles and bringing up all the things about why it won't work, why it didn't work before in the past, and why it's not going to work this time. So in this stage, your objective is to face reality and let go of the past. Don't allow your subconscious to dig in your memory to find something in the past. This is going to be your objective. And you also have to understand you need to manage anger. You're going to have some passive and aggressive emotions, and you need to manage that. The important thing to keep in mind in this stage, in stage two, the downing stage, is what are the facts? What are the facts about this particular change? And you've got to seek the right information from the right individuals, especially in the workplace. This is really critical in the workplace. But if you are choosing to change, like I said, chance, choice, or crisis, if you're choosing to change, then you have to find the right answers from whatever source that it is you're trying to instill a change. If you're trying to do a New Year resolution and lose weight, find out everything there is to know about the mental and emotional challenges that come with losing weight. Not just jumping on the treadmill and doing the action, but think about the mindset shift that comes with that change. That's what it's all about. Change begins in here. I'm pointing to my forehead right now. Change begins in your mind. Change happens inside of you before it happens happens in you before it happens to you and around you. So you've got to get your mind, conscious mind, and subconscious mind prepared for the change. Now, going into stage three, and I'm only going to cover the first three stages, and then we'll get to the final three stages. It's six total, but we'll cover the first three tonight. But in stage three, that's the discomfort stage. Now, this is a very critical stage, and I'll tell you why. The discomfort stage is when you're now entering into the yellow zone, which I told you these colors are different, similar to what you would do at a traffic light. In the yellow zone, at a traffic light, if you're at a yellow light, some people speed through, some people stop, and that's what you do in this particular stage, because some people may speed through, but I caution you not to do that. Because this stage will bring about feelings of anxiety, confusion, you're still feeling like you're not getting it done, you're unproductive, I'm not really making any progress. And if you don't handle this stage carefully, you're trying to get to a breakthrough, not a breakdown. And if you don't handle this stage carefully, not only will you break down, but you're going to be so uncomfortable because you're now pretty far out of your comfort zone because you're halfway through the process. You're in stage three, and there are six stages total. You're halfway through the process, and if you don't manage your emotions effectively, you're going to hit that danger zone, and it's going to push you backwards, and you're going to go right back into your comfort zone because now you're afraid, now you're fearful, now all of those emotions that are brought out when you're fearful are going to take over. And one quick point I also want to make is that when you try to make a change, your subconscious creates energy inside of you to help you with the change. But instead of using that energy to get through your comfort zone, most people feel that energy as stress, tension, and anxiety. And we've got to find a way to use that energy to work for you instead of against you. Now, we're coming up on the last 60 seconds of the show, and so I'm going to end for tonight, but I want you to please tune in next week as we bring our guest on, and we will continue this discussion about this very, very critical topic. We'll go into the last three stages of the change cycle, and remember to email me if you want to get a copy of this document so that you can follow along the next time we come to this topic, okay? So I'm going to leave you with this quote. Henry Ford said it best when he said, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. And that pretty much says it all. Thank you, everyone, I am so happy to spend this time with you. We are going to sign off for now, and we'll see you same time next week on the Living by Design show. Good night, everyone. We'll be right back.